Well, hello, everybody. This is Single Life with Dr. G, dating over 40. And this is Dr. G. You know, I am here to help you stay sane in this crazy world of dating. Now, you would think it would get so that it's not so crazy, but it just keeps seeming like it's getting crazier. We come to you in these podcasts to discuss and to help guide you through all of the ups and downs in this dating world. Now, you know, if you want help, you can contact me at drgladney.com and reach out. If you're needing some extra coaching, how to navigate your way through these waters, I am the one to help you. I am double excited today. But so excited because we are celebrating our 1 year of Single Life with Dr. G. Yay! And let me tell you, since that year, guess what? How international this podcast has become. We are now in 72 countries, 72, and 1,589 cities. Woo! We are excited. You know what that tells me? That everybody all around the globe is experiencing the same problems. So here, you know, we talk about the solutions. We present you with the issue, and then we talk about the problem and how we can get to the solution. So I am so excited as this just continues to move forward. You know, we do our segments, Did You Know, Candid Conversations, and we have a treat for you today. You're going to be so excited. We're going to get started because today we are talking about how to know when you have found your soulmate. Everybody out there is looking for that one person. That person that we call the soulmate. I did a course called How to Magnetize Your Soulmate into Your Life. And thinking about, should we call somebody soulmate? Do you believe in soulmates? Everybody has their opinion. A soulmate is somebody who you really gel with, that share the same kind of interests, goals, and where you're headed in life. Everybody's looking for that one. And in Did You Know, let me tell you, according to Forbes, in the United States alone, there are at least 2,500 dating sites. Now, you know, people getting on dating sites and online dating, and we've done podcasts about online dating. People are out there searching. Now, that's not to say everybody on the dating site is looking for their soulmate. We're not going to get that twisted. We already know some people out there just playing and they just want to have a good time and they just testing out stuff. But for the most part, everybody's looking for a soulmate. 2,500 dating sites, and they say there are about 1,000 new ones that are launched every year. It's also estimated that there's 8,000 dating sites worldwide. My goodness. And that's just the dating sites. So you can imagine how many millions of people are out there looking for their soulmate. Well, I'm excited to tell you that today, I have bought on, like I said, I'm doubly excited. I bought on two people. Guess what? Two people that found their soulmate in each other. Woo! It's exciting. I can't wait for you to hear their story. You know, we all love a good love story. But we're going to go even deeper than that today, because as we look at the signs that you found your soulmate and hear their story, all of you all are going to want to listen really well because you're out there looking for your soulmate and you're going to learn something today. So without further ado, we are going to introduce to you Lena Ware and Jason Castle. Everybody, let's welcome them to the program. Okay, Lena, we're going to start with you, ladies first. Lena, tell us a little bit about who you are to our audience.
Absolutely. My name is Lena. Soon to be Castle, Lena Castle. So I am known as Lena Ware as of right now. but that'll change. I am the founder of the Professional Speakers Concierge Service. I truly, truly enjoy this person that's sitting next to me that everyone cannot see. I lived in Texas and now reside in a whole other state, and we'll get to that part about our story. But I would like to say that my journey personally and with Jason has been, I will say that this has been an awesome journey. And as we continue to talk on, I will say me as a person, the changes, there's been a lot of inflection during this process of learning what becoming one truly actually is versus what people believe it to be. So this is going to be really interesting because I think this is the first time that we're actually telling our story in this way. So really
excited. Wow. Instead of what people think it is, we can't wait to hear. But before we hear, we do want to hear from the handsome gentleman sitting beside you, Mr. Jason.
Is there somebody else here?
Jason, tell us about yourself.
Sure. So first and foremost, I am madly in love with this woman sitting to my left. But my name is Jason Castle, you know, bred here in New Jersey. And I'm a lawyer by trade. And, you know, I'm Dr. G, just happy to be here with you. So happy to share our story. I am the father of three. I was previously married for 11 years. What's so amazing for me about falling in love with this amazing woman is sometimes there are people who can learn because they're told, and then there are people who learn through experience, and I'm an experiential learner. Sometimes you have to see everything the way it's not supposed to be so that you can appreciate it when you have it the way it is intended to be, and that's really a representation of our relationship.
Whoa, that was deep. That was deep, Jason. You have to see things the way it's not supposed to be in order to see and appreciate.
Yeah,
when they
absolutely.
Wow. This is great. Well, you know what? The audience can't wait and I can't either. We're going to get into the story. So you finding your soulmate, and Jason, this is your second time around. A lot of people out there believe that you only have one soulmate. Because like you, I used to be married and believe that was my soulmate. So let's first of all say if that's a myth or not. Do you have more than one soulmate? Do you believe that?
I believe so. My life partner as a soulmate is the woman that is sitting to my left. And it's a different type of soulmate, right? There's a vulnerability and an intimacy that we share in our relationship. And that is, you know, we are Christian in our faith. She is my rib. So when we came back together, it was like two puzzle pieces that fit perfectly together because that is how our souls connect. I mean, she finishes my sentences. Sometimes she says things and I was thinking the thing and she says it before I thought it. And it's not even on, you know, it's in the most random areas. Smile, you know, I smile and sometimes I say, what are you smiling at? And I'm smiling because I'm like, wow, like this is the person, this is my helpmate.
Right.
As the Bible says.
So. Absolutely. Well, now, Lena, so this is you haven't been married before. Mm-mm. You've been on the single journey. Mm-hmm. Why don't you speak to that? And being on this single journey, and a lot of women out there will be able to relate. They're on this single journey. You're dating. You know, if you're a Christian, you're praying, you're doing all of the things that you think. Mm-hmm. And you're feeling like, okay, this person didn't work. That person didn't work. And then you find this person in the right space, in the right time. And we're going to be talking about a lot of that. But why don't you speak to that journey?
So I do believe that your single journey, there are so many things that you need to be able to do in that window of time. And I think there's been times where I'm looking for something in someone else, and then you wonder why the mark was missed versus allowing life to just be, and you're fully invested in these other areas and you're strengthening yourself. You're doing all these different things. And then all of a sudden, like in the word, it's like all of a sudden, it's not I was seeking, searching, trying to find. And a lot of times what I've learned in my experiences in my singlehood, me doing the work of searching and finding and looking for things that I felt that could help to complete me was a waste of time. I just look over the relationships that I've had and, you know, what was I getting out of that? What was I giving to that? And a lot of times I'm selfish. In singlehood, you know, I have the right to be selfish and I do what I want to do when I would like to do it. And so I am passionate about the preferred life, if you will. There is a time where you say, you know what, I can see myself in sharing this with someone else, my thoughts and my dreams and aspirations and wanting to actually build something. The singlehood, there's so many very important, fundamental, foundational things that should occur in loving yourself and enjoying time by yourself and enjoying you yourself. For me, it was my time with God and figuring out, hanging out. I'm just hanging out, me, myself, and I. And even through dating, I knew that I wasn't ready for marriage. I knew I wasn't ready, even through dating. And when marriage was mentioned, it was like, I don't want to talk about that with you. So right. Okay. I was very clear with that. I think that I've spent many years, 34 years, well, 33 years searching, but then finding out, you know, it's when I put down the search that I was found. And I'm thankful for that.
You were found.
I was
so found. You know what? The question that everybody always asks is this question right here. How did you know he was the one? I'm going to ask both of you. I'll ask you first, Lena. How did you know he was the one? And Jason, I'm going to ask you, how did you know she was the one? And listen, if you all are finishing each other's sentences, y'all going to say the same thing. No. But how did you know, Lena, he was the one?
I knew when I couldn't get away with stuff. Like I knew, like for me, it was, I have someone that challenged me to be better in areas that I was never open with anyone else with. And so when you give that vulnerability up and they challenge you to elevate that, to be better in that area. And I can really be protective and sometimes feel offended in those areas, but to be able to be open enough to say, you know what, I'm wrestling with this, but I'm thankful that someone is bold enough to call me out to say, this is what you're doing. And that's good, but you can be great. And there's so many different areas that he's tested, challenged, and pushed me to exceed above what I thought that I could accomplish. And that's when I knew that this has got to be my person. This is definitely my person, because anyone else, one, I wouldn't bring up certain topics and things of that such. And then the other, to feel comfortable enough to be able to do that, but also humble enough to be able to take someone's advice and their love and what they're giving you at face value to really accept that. And I couldn't, and I've never done that with anyone else. And I don't want to do that with anyone else. And so I knew that when I come out of being upset or mad, I'm like, but I still want to be with this person. I still want to.
Wow. Okay. So you're right, because that takes a whole lot for us to take in when somebody's giving us something, whether this feedback, whatever it is, and they're challenging us. And, you know, our nature says, what? I'm already good. What you talking about? Who are you? You know? So that's good. Okay. So that's when you knew he was the one. Jason, when did you know she was the one?
I knew on the first date. Let me explain why, right? So let me give you context. My marriage had ended. I had been in a season of singledom. I had two gears, dad mode and single mode, and there was no overlap. I always looked forward to the time with my children.
Right.
Right. But I had really no adult memories of singlehood, right? And it was a really difficult transition. And I had gotten to a point, you know, one of my greatest confidants my entire life, maybe just because I'm an only child and I was raised by my mom. One of my greatest confidants was my mother, okay. Right? And, you know, during that season of singlehood, trying to learn myself again, right? Trying to detach myself from the identities that I had created for myself of being father and husband, right? That is how I identified myself. I didn't identify myself as me.
Right.
I identified myself as father and husband. And during that period of singlehood, I got a chance to learn myself, right? I didn't even know the stuff that I liked.
Yeah.
I didn't even know my, you know, they call it the quote unquote type. And truth be told, I had stopped looking, right? I was so good, right? I was so good, Dr. G. I'm telling you, I was like, you know what? I'm cool here. I'm cool, you know, having these two gears. I wasn't looking. And on our very first date, actually before our first date, I answer my phone the same way. I pick up the phone. It's like Jason Castle. And we had been texting back and forth. And we'll, you know, when we tell our story, you'll see how we got to that point. But we've been texting back and forth. And then out of nowhere, she just calls. And I'm like, Jason Castle. And her first words to me were, is that really how you answer the phone? It was like the first sound of her voice was someone playfully challenging me. Mm-hmm. Not in challenging my manhood, not in challenging
right.
me, but it was just instantaneous, as if we had been having a conversation or we had known each other for years. And we were just, you know, it was like an old friend or a best friend calling you.
Yeah.
What cemented it for me, well, there were two things that cemented it for me. One, and again, this was on our first date. When we sat down, you know, I brought her to a place that I really don't share with folks. It's my favorite restaurant in New York City. But I was just kind of on this emotional roller coaster. And then we had said that we were going to see each other or meet. And I was just like, you know what? This is my place. I want to feel comfortable, right? I'm not trying to put on airs. Right. This is my home. And we shared this place together, and it has now become our place. When we sat down, we're sitting there, and I remember I ordered the wine, I ordered the appetizer, so on and so forth. And out of nowhere, she just stopped. She goes, wait a minute, hold on. Before we go any further, are you a believer? And I stopped. No one had ever asked me that question before. And I said, wait, you need, like, God? She's like, Jesus Christ, God, I'm a Christian. I just need to know if you're a believer. And I was so mesmerized in that moment, because it cut through everything, right? Mm-hmm. It really, really did. To find that there was someone who was so devout in their own faith, to be so what we would consider to be bold, to ask the question without waiting to get there. So that was the thing. Lastly, I will say, in that same evening, in that evolution, I looked at her for the very first time as a woman that I had met that I would happily take the back seat to, that I would happily just want to champion what it was that she wanted to do professionally, to whatever I could do to support her endeavor, I would do. And that was something very, very unfamiliar to me. Mm-hmm. And being, you know, flooded with those emotions on the first interaction, not looking, I was like, wait a minute, okay. So that's how I knew.
Wow. There was so much that you said in there. It's so many different directions I want to go, but I'm going to refrain, because I want you guys to go ahead and tell your story, because I think it's important as we put context around everything. And you kind of told us, you know, the first date. So Jason, let me just tell you this. A lot of people, women out there particularly, have this fantasy about, you know, the fact like, oh, I knew on the first date, and, you know, the man, he knew that you see that person, is love at first sight kind of thing. That was interesting when you said that. So I know that really piqued some people's ears. Ooh. But you had that feeling. But did you know on the first date, Lena?
So listen, I'm a person that I'm not going to show my cards. So I'm playing it cool. Like, I'm just on the inside, I'm like, oh my gosh. Because when we tell our story, like, you know, all these things that I noticed regarding, you know, if I get up, he would refold my napkin, his discernment, or, you know, the little details of how he made sure to treat me or make me feel in that moment, which was like there was no one else in the room. And it sounds so cliche, but it's not something that's ever left. He continues to do that. He is very consistent. And I think that in the back of your mind, you're just like, it's too good to be true, but I'm going to keep it in my back pocket and let's see what happens.
Dr. G, I just got ADD. So if that's all it is.
But did I know in the moment? Like, for me, I'm like, oh, I would love to see him again. And I'm so excited.
Okay.
But because of my experiences, I'm always thinking,
right,
like, Is he really wanting something else? Is
cautious. He, yes.
And that's my, you know, there's some baggage that comes with that.
Yes.
But I knew that, like, I'm like, he's a wonderful person. We have kind of like the same smile. If you ever see our faces.
Listen, know. Audience, you don't see their picture, but they look alike. Okay. Look alike.
So for me, it was just, I like where this is going and I don't want it to end. But I'm also like, the other thing always plays in my mind. If it does end, you're going to be okay. Like I'm saying, like, yes, I'm like constantly.
Absolutely. We have to have that in your head because mm-hmm. you don't want to fall in and be disappointed. Well, please tell us your story. However you want to share it with us, tell us.
So I'll start from the beginning. I was supporting a client in Texas. And during that moment of supporting someone for our company, I saw someone that I knew who was familiar, and he was heading outside of this, it was a hotel that this conference was being held. And so when I saw him leave, I'm like, you know what, I'll catch him later. And something told me, no, catch him now. So I caught up with him. Hey, how are you doing? How's you, your wife, your daughter? And he was like, yeah, we're going to need your services. We're doing this event. And fast forward, I came to New York a week in advance. I was already supposed to be here for 2 weeks. I ended up extending it for 3. So the time frame in which we met, I wasn't even supposed to be in New York. So I came to New York. I support my client. And my client was like, listen, we have tickets to this Yankee game. Or if you want to go to this Tony Robbins event, you know, whatever you want to do, we would love to treat you. Great job. Couldn't have done this event without you. And I had a choice. And so I went to this Tony Robbins event, had a fantastic time. And I met a young lady that she was just like, you know, we should do brunch in New York City. And nobody really ever follows up anymore, but I really think we should do that. And so in my top of mind is follow up and go do brunch. And we did that. And we're overlooking New York City, eating, having a great time, talking business. And out of nowhere, she's like, do you trust me? I'm looking at her like, I'm about to take another bite of food. So that I think, I'm just like, she's like, hear me out. She's like, I think I know who your person is. And that's her words.
Oh my goodness.
I think I know who your person is.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's my facial, like, you know, features or whatever that probably sparked with, like, who does she remind me of? Maybe it was her. I don't know. But she's like, I really would like to connect you with someone. And that's when she put Jason and I in a group text with her. And I started texting him personally, and he's really quick. Like, you know how you're like, you text somebody and you're like, oh, they take forever. Jason is very on top of it. And I love that. Like, I'm waiting on, like, what is his response to this? What is he? And that's when it goes to the place where I just called him. I'm like, okay, we're texting back and forth. We're supposed to meet on Tuesday. This is a Friday. Let me just call him anyway. And we talked for about 30 minutes. I'm like, I feel like I know him. He's so amazing, but I'm going to be in the city with people I went to school with and who I grew up with. I'm like, this is a great opportunity because if I don't like this person, then it's a good out to say, hey, me and my friends are heading over here.
Yes.
So he comes, I'm like, hey, if you want to come out, and his plans changed, which is different for him, which is not normal for his plans to have changed. And he came out to the city and we met each other. He has this ball cap, this New York ball cap on. I'm like, oh, look at him. He got it. You know, he got a button up and some jeans. And I'm just, he's talking to my friends. I'm not even really having conversations with him. I'm just peeping him, how he's having conversations. What is he kind of talking about? The night was getting a little late. He's like, you know what? I have a place, my favorite place to eat. And I was hungry, but I didn't want to like say like, yeah, let's just go. I was just like, ooh, maybe I can bring one of my friends. And she was like, no, I'm not coming with you. And when I tell you, we get to this restaurant, it was this older gentleman that was there as the host, and Jason just took off his hat and was like, we're going to sit right there. Like, told the hostess where we're going to sit. And in this beautiful restaurant, I felt like, okay, let me get my posture together. Let me, like, this is like not no like hole in the wall place. This is a very extravagant to me, white table, cloth, beautiful place. He done text the chef. I didn't know this at the time, but the chef that wasn't there, text the chef that was, and he came out and he's just, Jason, I mean, he went above and beyond. What would you like to drink? And he's looking at the Bible of wines And I in those moments, it was him and I, and having conversations about everything. It's like being kids, like just talking about everything and just things that just were not off limits. Like, what do you think about this? And to be on a blind date and all this happens like within, you know, less than 24 hours. And Dr. G, you and I had talked earlier that day, right before I met him. And, you know, we were talking about what you had going on. And, like, you know, it's really interesting for us to continue to have conversations, and things have changed and moved and now engaged. Like, it's when you fast forward, it's just wow from someone's perspective, because or else we would have never met each other. Someone that has said, do you trust me? And people that you would have never thought in a million years could bring something into your life that can change your life. Yeah.
Wow. Yes, go ahead, Jason. I know you have some parts to add into here.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are a couple of things. In the same way that Lena, you know, was having this conversation with this young lady called me and said, hey, you know, very, very similar. The context was very different because it was someone that I had been out with during my singledom. It was not relationship bound, right? For that type of person to call me and say, I think I've met your person. And to start the conversation the same way, do you trust me? My response was less professional than Lena's. I was in court at the time. She called me. She said, do you trust me? And my response was, hell no, I don't trust you. Like, that was my response. And then what she said was, no, like, I just met your person.
Wow.
When we fast forward to the interaction that, you know, I shared earlier that, you know, when she stopped texting, she just called. It was like my best friend calling. That was exactly where the conversation picked up, as if we had been having a dialogue that was unbroken. And then, you know, even with when we got to the restaurant, when I listened to Lena's perspective of what happened at the restaurant, I'm always thinking to myself, man, that was a really cool experience. But for me, right, it was like this is my family. These are my friends. I knew these people at this restaurant, right? I'd been going there for a decade. You know, there was nothing abnormal for me to walk in and tell the hostess, I'm going to sit at that table right there. I didn't have a reservation, but I know y'all know me. I'm going to sit right there. When I listened to her talk about it, I've never viewed it from that perspective until I flew to Dallas for the very first time. Like I said, I'm a Cowboy fan, love the Cowboys. She's a Jets fan. How odd is that?
Whatever. One of our first dates was, we can talk about that on the advice.
Yeah, that's going to be the crazy date story. But, you know, she's in Texas and she's a Jets fan. I'm in New York and I'm a Cowboy fan, right? That perspective that she has about how she experienced our first date was reciprocated when I flew out to Dallas the first time. And I got a chance to go to Dallas Cowboys headquarters, tour the Dallas Cowboys, like, empire. She brings me into, you know, Cowboys like heaven, introducing me around. We're going to different restaurants. I'm running into meeting Dallas Cowboys, and this is just normal for her. So I'm looking at her in the same way that she's looking at me, and I'm like, man. But what was so amazing about those experiences and even this experience as it continues is that nothing is contrived. It's just who we are.
Right.
And that goes to knowing that she is my soulmate, because I don't have to pretend to be anybody else. She just accepts me as who I am, and vice versa. The only other thing I will say about this, and it's really kind of to just cut through that fantasy aspect of everything. One of the reasons I know with absolute certainty that she is my rib, right, is oftentimes we build this fantasy of what our dream person is, and we never, ever, ever consider our own baggage or the baggage we're willing to accept.
Right.
Right. Because we don't know someone else's story. And what I instantly recognized was that it didn't matter what her story was. I just wanted to be a part of it.
Wow.
Right.
Okay.
So it's a journey to find out how she arrived at being the woman that I just fell in love with. And whatever happened, whether good or bad, she arrived at that moment and she was perfectly positioned for me. And I hope that I was perfectly positioned with her, even with my good and my bad.
Wow. I'm telling you, what a story. I mean, there's so much here that I want to get to, because there's so many pieces in here that people need to really understand. Lena, when you were first saying your story and you guys were texting and you called him first, ladies, I'm trying to get somewhere where there was no issue with you picking up and calling him and saying, why are we doing this text? Instead of, I'm going to wait for him to call me to see if he's interested. And he, all of the stuff that keep us to get to another space, you didn't have that. Both of you guys trusted. Well, Jason, you didn't. You didn't trust her. But Lena, you did. You really have to trust. And for her to say, I know your person.
Yeah.
As well as the whole thing about you instinctually felt, I'm going to go on a blind date. I've never been on a blind date. Mm. To trust somebody. Did she ask you what your type was? She didn't any of that.
I just think it's temporary trust. I don't even, when I look back, you know, now I didn't trust her, but it's like, what's the worst that can happen? I'm only here for a couple of weeks. I don't even live here. You know, it's like, you know, it's temporary trust. I wouldn't say that I trusted her. Temporary, it's like in this moment, sure. I'm a very guarded person. So like on the outside, I could be smiling, but like, yeah, sure, whatever, you know. On the inside, I'm like, she's probably crazy. I have no idea what this is. But at the same time, I'm open. I think that might be the better word is that I'm open to what you're probably suggesting. I may not fully trust you. I gotta see it play out and see how this pans out. So I think I'm more open to it.
I agree. Yeah.
Open. And that's good for us to become more open. Mm-hmm. You all were saying some things, and I have this list of signs that you found your soulmate, and you were just hitting them all. The first one that says there's a sense of ease and you feel like you've been knowing each other forever. Mm-hmm. Both of you all said that immediately. It was like you heard her voice, Jason, and you said this is a friend. Mm-hmm. Y'all started talking and felt like that you knew each other for a long time. So people understand that it's this connection that just, it just happens. It's not anything that you can contrive. It's not anything that, you know, you try to make happen. Mm-hmm. It was just something that happened and you felt like you were friends and you could talk to each other. This next one says you met at the right time in life. When you know it's a soulmate, you meet at the right time in life. Talk about how important timing is.
Timing is everything. You may have already met the person, but the time for the two of you to be together wasn't when you met them. It might be later on. For me, and I'll echo, you know, Lena's sentiments, I was open. And I was open because I wasn't looking. I was open because I had just gotten to know myself and I was comfortable with myself, with my flaws. And, you know, even some of the things that I admired about myself. And when we met, I was comfortable with myself. So comfortable that even in going into our first meeting, I remember thinking to myself, do I want to wear something that is, you know, trying to impress? Or do I want to wear something that I'm comfortable in? And I still remember the outfit that I wore. I had an Old Navy blue button-down shirt with a button collar. I had these lounge pants from Brooks Brothers that kind of tied in the front. I was, you know.
God, he was laid back because I was laid back. I didn't have the luxury or time to go home or to a place where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm about to meet somebody. So what he saw was exactly like who I am in my element and not being prepared as well. So some people that are preparing for a date, I didn't have the luxury of getting ready for a day.
But that was so, that's what's so amazing about our timing. The timing wasn't just the right time in our life. The timing was in our respective seasons where we were comfortable in our own skin.
Everything about how we connected was in time. Like if I didn't run out to say something to this person that was going to be my client, if I didn't follow up, or if I chose the Yankee game, every decision was orchestrated in order to be able to meet. And there's so many different things that pop into my mind, like, oh yeah, and that too, and that too. And I think about, you know, the different things of if I didn't do this, or if I said, what if I didn't pick up the phone after text messaging, or like, hey, I'll just text him later. like every action.
Right.
And I think that's another thing is just, you know, the action, you know, you moving towards someone versus, oh, let them come to me. Let them call me. Like
when right.
you're towards them and they're moving towards you. Even in disagreements, when they're moving towards you and they're pursuing you, you know, timing is everything.
But you just said something about orchestration. I don't want it to be lost. It wasn't, the timing wasn't our orchestration.
No.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And the moment that I think that we let go of trying to orchestrate our own time
mm-hmm.
was the time that our creator's time is what we were living by.
Put you together.
Regardless of what your faith is, you didn't create yourself.
right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
So if some being could get you to this point without any orchestration by yourself, maybe it's worth trusting that they can get you to the point that you're supposed to be with the person that you're supposed to be with. Because if everything that you've orchestrated up until this point has not worked,
mm-hmm.
it might be time to trust another timeline.
Absolutely. Well, and to that, when you were talking about the timing and everything, I think what happens to a lot of, particularly women, we overthink. We overthink, oh, well, should I, if I do this, he's going to think that. And if I don't, and if I wear this, he'll think that. Or, you know, it's this overthinking process, the stinking thinking that kind of blocks. Mm-hmm. And it can block the natural flow of timing because you're trying to make it work. You're trying mm-hmm. to make it work some kind of way. Now, Lena, did you already know he was an attorney? When she said, I know your person, did you ask her any questions about, well, what does he look like? Who is he? How tall is he? How, you know, what does he do for a living? Did you go through all of that?
No. Like, I think she might have said something, but it was never my main focus. I have probably undiagnosed ADHD as well. And so as she's just telling me.
No, I've diagnosed it.
Well, that's just your problem.
I've diagnosed yours.
Okay. Well, like, I'm moving on to the next thought. So if she did, like, I knew he was in politics, like, because just like he did me, I looked him up. Like, you know, you Google. Like,
Absolutely.
So you have a picture in your mind, but no personality truly attached to it yet.
So did you have an expectation, like when he was comfortable, did you think, why does he have that on? I'm just saying, this is the natural stuff that women do, women and men do. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's dressed like that. Oh, he can't dress. Oh, he, you know, all of the stuff mm-hmm. that really doesn't make the person, you know what I'm saying? And it just really kind of blocks. And all of a sudden you have an attitude. And so he's going to take me to this nice restaurant. We looking like this. I didn't have time to put on my heels. I don't have my, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm making all kinds of assumptions naturally in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. You know, get his hat on. I'm assuming that he's a certain type of person, but it wasn't until when we went to the restaurant outside of other people that the personality, the conversations and all of those different things were like, oh, wow, this is, he's way beyond his years. I'm just like, yeah. There's so many beautiful things about his character that exude that I don't need to ask certain questions about certain things. Like there's certain things that are just,
This is our first date. I think it's called a Mac. Is it a maxi dress? Is that what they call it? Like it's the.
I call it a onesie, just a dress, and you don't have to worry about what's the top and the bottom.
She was this
one. Yeah.
Hair was down, glasses were on, had the, you know, the comfortable dress. I got, for me as a man, what I really, really appreciated was I could see her shape, but not her body.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Right. Because, you know, you got to be attracted to someone.
Absolutely.
But then just the way that she carried herself, just the confidence and the poise, just the, you know, so like I didn't have an expectation other than I was going to have a good meal that night because I knew where we were going.
Yes. Yeah.
But the meal was made so much more like enjoyable and flavor so vibrant and the experience so much more magnificent because I'm sharing this experience that I know to be good with someone who I've learned to be great. And now it is just unparalleled. It's just, I mean, that's how it was.
And the date, that date, I was eating things that I normally don't even want to eat, like oysters and like, you know, I'm like, ugh. Like, but trust me. And it like, it's just like, even those experiences with food, I'm not a big cheese person. We get a charcuterie board and I'm like, okay.
She trusted me on the first date.
Definitely my palate was shifted. And it has been ever since. And we are foodies. We love good food, coupled with great wine and great vibes and good service. And so,
Dr. G, I just want to punctuate this, right? So there was a time in my life, I was in Iraq, I was in the infantry, and I made a promise to myself that I wanted to enjoy life, mm-hmm. right? Lord, if you get me back, I'm going to enjoy life. And I had a vision of what the experience was, but never a face of who I'd be sharing an experience with. Okay, and in every moment of our first date, that face was being planted in that experience.
Wow. Okay.
And I mean, it's like, I still get goosebumps like I am right now when I think about it. Like, I'm sharing these experiences and this life with the person who is sharing and appreciating these experiences in the same way that I am. And there are times when she is, you know, the ambassador of the journey. There are times that I'm the ambassador of the journey, but it's always such a meaningful experience.
Mm. It's just like, I feel like it's like a fun play date. Like, as a kid, and you're like, oh, I get this boyfriend. And they like what I like. And you know, anytime, anyone even around us, with us, whatever. We love hosting people, but it's like, I get to hang out with him. Like, when we really say like, yo, I can do life with you. Like, I knew before meeting him what marriage, like, not the burden, like in a negative way, the burden of marriage, but understanding the context of what singlehood is. And when you're married and you're carrying these things and these circumstances, all of life together now and becoming one, and what comes with that. And it used to freak me out. Like, I don't want to deal with certain things with other people. I rather just do what I gotta do, how I would like to do it on my own. And so I've been a lone ranger. Even in dating, I would still consider myself single. Like, I'm still single.
Right.
And I would say that to the person, like, you know, I know we're boyfriend and girlfriend, and I used to hate those words. That's why I call him my mister.
Right.
Mister. And people thought we were engaged or married way before the engagement actually even happened, because of how we would speak about each other. And we had matching rings. So people automatically assumed, because when you're doing life, but you recognize that there's going to be some heavy, heavy things that are going to try to shake your faith, your thoughts, and your perspective about someone else, but you've already made the decision that it doesn't matter what they have done and what they're going to do.
Right.
But you've already forgive them, but you want to continue to learn them. Mm-hmm. I think when people can go into a relationship knowing this person is going to hurt you, they're not going to be always the peachy, loving person, but you are choosing that, you know, regardless of whatever happens, that, and people think that they, I get that. I just want to get to it. I really want to. But it's constant work before the work of marriage. And I think some people that are interested in the happily ever after don't get there, because it's like, I've been duped. But
right. Because they haven't done the work beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys are talking about, you know, it talks about on the list, the sharing, the similarities, and that you can be yourself and you kind of know each other inside and out, because you just... It's just a flow. I always think of it as, I used to watch ice skating, figure skating. I just think
it's
graceful things. And when you see them doing that together and how they have to flow, mm-hmm. and they have to be so precise, because the skate can't touch the other skate because now you fall. But understanding and anticipating the flow of each other. And that used to be something that I would just put out there to say, hey, that person, your person, you and that person can flow like this. And you guys are hitting all the lists. Now, because believe it or not, our time is just going so fast. Oh, my goodness. But before we wrap up, I want you to talk about, even though, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, Lena, even though you have found your person, and you have your soulmate, you still have to do work.
Yes.
You still have to work on yourself and the work that has to be done together. Can you all talk about that? Because I think, like you said, Lena, people, they try to hurry and get to the happy ever after.
Yeah.
And we don't do a good job in this world of sharing the realities of marriage. And people just see the, people know people get divorced, but they don't understand that pathway. And so we don't understand what it is to put in the work beforehand. And even you guys are engaged, and congratulations to you all. You're engaged, but you're still working. So can you talk about that?
To your example, you know, the precision, especially the outwardly look of what things may look like, even if the even if they fall, the point is to be able to cover that person, that there's still a, even prior to marriage, that you don't want to be damaging, like when you're going through things, because you're going to be going through things as you're continuing to learn someone. And I think what was work for me is when going to other people about like, well, what do you think? And not necessarily asking the person that I'm with about like, well, this hurt, or I didn't understand when you did this. And there were so many things I had to learn and do some work, some internal work within myself. Before going to someone else, I had to learn, what did I think about it? So if I didn't have an opinion about something, if somebody said something to me, I would take on that thought, not do the work, and be like, this is my thought process about something, versus doing the work of, what is it that I think about that? Where does that come from? Why do I think like that? And can I be able to explain that to him in a palatable way that he can receive it? And I think the work that we're doing now in premarital class and in therapy and all of those different things, I think when you release trying to always be right and just trying to figure out what is he saying? And I'm still learning this of what is he saying to me when he's saying X, Y, and Z. I have to be able to be humble and sometimes be quiet to be able to really hear him. And I think it's a lot of work, especially when you've been single for so long. You have something to say and you want to be heard and you want things to be acknowledged and you want to be respectful. And so as I'm learning those things, it is a lot of work for me, especially a lot of unlearning for me and relearning things that could be better for us together. I'm thankful that I have someone that is very patient. He's a really good listener. I always got something to say and he'll let me say it. And then like, okay, just like him, are you finished? Are you done? Like, because he wants to allow me to say everything I need to say. But I think the work, it's not a happy place. It is a, it could be dark. It could be real. It could be, do you want to get better? And a lot of times with people in relationships, this is who I am, take me who I am, and don't want to really do some reflection. Right. It's doing the things that I don't want to do in order to have what I would like to have in my life.
Wow. That's good. Go ahead, Jason.
No, I mean, that I remind myself on a daily basis that I have to be in constant pursuit.
Wow. Okay. Wait. We got to let that marinate just a little bit. Just a little bit. I'm going to have you repeat that because people need to hear that. Men out there, you have to hear this. You have to hear what he's saying. So say it again, Jason.
It's a daily reminder that I have to be in constant pursuit. And that's not just on good days. That's on difficult days. That's on days where we have a cackle and she storms off and I'm sitting on my couch stewing. Like, I know I'm right. It doesn't matter if I know I'm right. It doesn't matter if I am right. What matters is that I have to be in constant pursuit of her. And even if I feel I'm right, having the humility to pursue my bride so that we can come back together. And the thing about love, it's not spelled L-O-V-E, it's spelled W-O-R-K, right?
Absolutely.
And, you know, we give so much grace to the people that write our paycheck, but we don't give grace to the people who are writing our salary for life.
Wow.
And, you know, so when I'm looking at it, some of the times that I know I love her the most are the moments that I'm pursuing her when we are in disagreement. Because that's where you put in work.
Ooh, wow. I'm just going to soak this all in. Okay, go ahead.
I'll say this. I didn't know how much hurt or like trauma until like, you know, when he's kissing me on my forehead and just trying to, you know, still pursue me. And I still want to be in my moment and I still want to be able to stew. And I still want to be right in that moment there. And I know in my mind and in my heart, like there is so much more work, Lena, that you got to do, because it is to release and to just be like, you know what? He's created a safe space for me that when he's pursuing me in the moments that I really don't want to be pursued in those moments, yeah. Like a lot of people hear pursuit and it's like, oh, it's the dating and the this and the, it's no. the, it, yeah. you know, what he's explaining. And it's in those moments where I am so thankful that even in my mess, or even if I'm wrong, that someone can still embrace me and hold me and say, just let go. Yeah. And sometimes I can, but then a lot of times and it's the work that I'm like, oh, wow, there's so much work that I have to do to be able, because it's more than just that moment, yeah. you know, and there's so much stuff in your past that there's baggage that you got to still like continually take Please. Off and yes. unlearn. And I'm just thankful that he's patient with me enough to say, I'm still going to hold on to you. I know you don't want this right now. I'm still going to love you. And sometimes if he's even making a joke, it is like there are a lot of, I think of what he's been through, like the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm thankful for that he doesn't allow those things to hinder where he would want to go or where mm-hmm. we're trying to track on together. And so I'm so thankful that he continues to hold me in those moments, because I'd be on one. I got something else to say.
Like all women, like we always say, yes. something to say, though.
Yes, silence is so golden.
But Dr. Gideon, one thing, you know, a lot of men won't admit this, but it is a commonality that we share. A lot of men deal with the inadequacy that comes from rejection.
Yes, right? Yes, yes.
And affirming words, men won't ask for them, but we seek them.
Yes.
Right? And when I'm in my mess, when I am, for me, my entire life has been trying to build myself into being someone that no one would ever want to reject. That's what we as men struggle with, right? Wow. We want to be the biggest. We want to be the baddest. We want to, you know, we as men are constantly striving towards it. That's why we go to the gym. That's why we, you know, we get the cars that we do or pursue the jobs that we do. And it's a commonality. And men don't want to be rejected. And when you find someone who, in the same way that I'm in a constant state of pursuit of Lena, she's, at least from my perspective, in a constant state of affirming me.
Mm.
She is not reserved with compliments. And even on the subtle things that I may do, or the little things, you know, if I cook a meal, if I select, you know, the bottle of wine, even if it's something as small as I put her laundry in the washing machine, she is quick to show grace and gratitude, and even quicker to compliment. I think that is her constant pursuit of me.
Yes.
That reciprocates my constant pursuit of her. But we also have communicated to each other what we appreciate in our respective pursuits. That is also really important, because when you feel, you know, she says I created a safe space for hers, but she creates a safe space for me. And when you know that you can tell somebody something and they're not judging you based on what you say.
On the list.
Yes, on the list. Yeah, you are understood and never judged. Wow.
We are in constant pursuit of understanding one another, because I think that we recognize that our lifetime is going to be in service to each other.
Mm. You know, okay, people, I'm telling you, y'all just don't know. We can make this show 2 hours with all of the things that you all are. So I was going through the list. The sense of ease feels like you know each other.
Yeah.
Met at the right time in life. You're understood and never judged. You rely on them through thick and thin. You are their number one cheerleader. You share similarities. You can be yourself. You know each other inside and out. You're prioritizing each other's life. This is one of my favorite ones. They feed your soul.
Mm.
They feed your soulmate will feed your soul.
Yeah.
That means helping you to become that better version of you who God created you to be. It's just really that simple.
None of this list matters if one does not know themselves and able to communicate their needs to the other person. And that's what I am continuing to just like how in communicating, like what it is that I like, what I love, and be able to say that so he can continue to do those things. But,
right.
You know, when you keep somebody guessing, but it's not them guessing, it's like, you have no idea who you are,
you don't know.
Who you like, none of this matters. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know yourself, or you can be inside and out knowing someone else, like you think you can know someone else inside and out, but if you don't know yourself inside and out,
absolutely,
you do better than you. Yeah.
Well, and that's why I wrote the book, The Power of Attraction. It's all about women getting to know themselves. But do you know what? Still yet, with one of my biggest challenges is that I find that women don't want to do the work. Yeah. This is just from me saying, trying to work with women.
Yep.
They don't want to do the work because they know what kind of clothes they like. They know what kind of shoes. But it's so much deeper than that. And really understanding who you are and really, what do you need at this point in your life? We're all at different stages, and at different stages in our life, we need something different. And so what does that look like? He may not be the 6-foot guy. He may not be the six pack guy. He may not be the 6-figure guy. But women, you know, we're so caught up in all of these things. And when I tell you, it is such a challenge out here to relay that over, to understand who you are and, you know, what God has for you. It is really difficult. I find so many people are just stuck on the story of the man is like this or the woman's like this. These women out here, like, you just don't know. They so shallow. They this, they that. I hear it from all angles. And I'm just like, well, people, in order to get it together, it's all about you. It's the reflection that you see in the mirror. And, you know, I could just go on about all of this. This is so incredible. I mean, I'm going to have you all back just because I know people are going to demand that, because we're just hearing and learning. I mean, before I ask you about the wedding date or anything, I'm going to ask you, what is the best advice that you could give, Lena, to women?
The best advice I could give is, I really think it is knowing yourself. And I think people think it's so cliche, but I think, who are you?
Yes.
In this world, how do you want to make impact? Because whatever comes to you that is not supposed to be with you, or just because they're attractive or whatever they're saying, you should know and be able to reject it because it's not where you're heading.
Right.
It's not a part of your journey, of your legacy and all the. And the last thing I'll say is.
Okay. And Jason, what advice would you give to the men?
I would say probably learn how to lead, but understanding that leading doesn't mean you're always in charge.
Ooh.
Right.
Writing down this stuff. Leading doesn't always mean that you're in charge.
Sometimes leading is being still. Right. And letting someone continue on the journey. As long as you're present, you don't have to be vocal. Right. Just leading is sometimes being in support. It's having that sense of discernment. So I would say, you know, to men, you know, stop measuring yourself with somebody else's ruler. Stop trying to create yourself in someone else's vision. Be who you are. Stand in your space. Become confident and comfortable in your space, and understand that leading is being who you are. It doesn't mean that you have to be in charge. You're not always dictating.
Wow. Sometimes you have said some nuggets to drop to these men. I tell you,
that's some good feedback. Because if you find a woman that's never been led, good luck.
Yeah, I know.
It'd be a hard time.
Wow, I'm just, you know. Stuff I can't say. Men need to hear this from men. I'm telling you. And I wish you guys could just see their interaction, the yin to the yang. And that, you know, I'm not just saying this because I'm not easily impressed. I've seen a lot of stuff and I have to pick up the pieces of a lot of people's lives. So for me, I get to feel this and know it in knowing Lena and us having conversations throughout the years. And then to see this space, and I knew I had to get you on this show, share with people all of what this entails, this journey. It's a journey. And so I'm so excited. We're not even going to do the crazy dating story section because we want to know, have you guys had a date? What does that look like? Where are we headed here? I'm telling you, we're going to get you back on here, but how's all that coming?
So, and as he looks to me, So the wedding date sometime in the fall next year.
Okay.
Because I'm in the event industry and space, yeah. I know some of the overwhelm that comes with it. So I am the most chilling, soon-to-be bride that you'll ever meet.
I'm oh, good.
I'm enjoying this particular season, just as you, you know, one enjoys right. getting married and all of that. I'm enjoying the being engaged and enjoying still getting to learn him as we're doing still the work. It's forever.
Yes. So you're so, like, why do I have to rush, huh?
Well, we've been saying that.
But what she's leaving out is that we made the decision. We wanted to have a marriage for us, but a wedding for others to celebrate, right? Because sometimes what happens is we mash the two together and then the marriage becomes the spectacle for everyone else rather than being grounded in what it is, right? Because when everybody goes home and all the gifts are on, you're there in the marriage. So, you know, we're going to get married, but then we'll have a wedding, right? Because when we get married for ourselves, it'll allow us to really be able to celebrate the pomp and circumstance that really is for everyone else,
right?
And that's for them to honor you, but we want to honor each other before we allow others to honor us. So we got 2 days.
I love it because so many people get caught up in this whole wedding thing.
Yeah.
Bridezillas, everything is all stress. Everything is about the wedding, the colors of this, the that, the money that's spent. It just gets ridiculous and it gets lost in the shuffle. So you all are so grounded and I just love it. Thank you so much for sharing with this audience. We're excited. Everybody, let's give them a hand for coming. Let's thank them for being a part of our audience. When I tell you, this is the one for the year celebration. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited about all of this. Lena has a business and tell them again how they can reach you and should anybody need your services.
So the Professional Speakers Concierge Service. So that's Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. You'll find it. If you have an event experience and you have guest speakers coming in and you would like them to be supported and you don't have to worry about those things, we have a team that will be right there to support those individuals. And so
I'm an attorney. I own my own firm. It's called the Castle Firm. I practice civil rights, labor and employment, and personal injury.
Okay.
And, you know, I represent clients, you know, big and small, David against Goliath. And sometimes I represent Goliath too, but it's a labor of love for me. It's my calling. It's my purpose. So if someone wants to reach out to me, they can just look me up at the Castle Firm.
Well, I tell you what, this has just been an amazing experience. And, you know, the challenge of the week, people, I want you to listen. I want you to hear men out there. Go back, replay some of the stuff he said, and look in the mirror at yourself and say, what kind of man am I? Am I really ready for a relationship? To the women, it's the same. Lena shared a lot of things with us, the work that has to be done. Look in the mirror and say, what do I need to do? What do I need to do to become the better version of myself? That is your challenge for this week. And again, if you have not joined our Facebook group, go to Single Life with Dr. G, Dating Over 40. If you need my help, assistance, coaching sessions, go to drgladney.com. I am here to assist you in this crazy world of dating. Until the next time, have an incredible, incredible week. This is Single Life with Dr. G, Dating Over 40. Sing.